to even understand who I am in Christ. Christ in me. Hallelujah. Christ in you. Christ in His church. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So again, keep all of these things in prayer. And I know many of you do. I'm kind of like speaking to the choir. We have a wonderful Tuesday night Zoom prayer and pray for the things of the body here. Pray for the things of our nation, things in the world, things that just come upon our hearts as we're just praying by that, sometimes in the spirit. So, hallelujah. Again, today is a great day in your life. You're in the body of Christ. Amen. You've come with like faith people. We're here to hear from God. Amen. We're here to say, Lord, give us our marching orders. Lord, speak to us in the time of our need. Oh, Father, if nothing else, we're here today just to glorify you and to praise you as a corporate body because he loves his children when they raise up our praises and our hands and worship him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, in our Thursdays, we've been looking over Psalms 119 and doing a study. I was looking at it, and I've got it kind of pegged out there. If I keep following like one stanza at a time, we'll be going into this into like next year. It's like, wow, Lord. Wow. Is it really that important? Yes. And so we have picked up a little bit and maybe done two sections at a time. But anyway, what we're finding, and it's basically we're coming across the same things in that psalm of his precepts, of his commands, of his word, and the things that we need to follow and obey and follow by. And so it's a wonderful psalm, and there's a lot of trails that we take off of that into sometimes the New Testament scriptures of things of Jesus and even looking at other Old Testament areas that kind of feed off of some of the things that we're going through there. But in one of those areas that I looked at in one of our studies, and it hit me at that time, but this word just kept going over in me, and it's taken out of Psalms 34:8. I love my Lord. How about you? I love everything that he has, everything that he's got capable and things that he can do for me. And I love him not because of what he can do for me. I love him because he's my God. Amen. He is my God. Because, folks, I have tasted and I have seen that my Lord is good. Have you tasted and seen that your Lord is good? I hope so. Because when you taste and see how good he is, it doesn't take much to get you ramped up to talk about how good my Father in heaven is. How good my Father in heaven is not causing this evil to take place upon this earth. That God's word even says that there's a God of this world. That's the devil. The devil. The devil. I've had people say, well, I don't understand that. How could he be called a God? Well, he's a God with a little G. My God is a big G. But even God's word says he's the God of this world. My God says it, I can say it, but it puts me in a place to understand that my God is in control. But that's where I've tasted and I've seen through scriptures, through reading, through meditation, through just, Lord, I love you. Teach me, show me, help me, guide me. Give me joy. Give me healing. Give me strength. What it is when I need it, wherever I'm at. And he's my God. And so I would say this for today, a relationship of tasting and seeing. If you don't have a relationship of tasting and seeing your God, he just happens to be a God. Oh, he could be the good God, but he stays in your Bible on the pages of your Bible. He stays in creation. He stays in getting the children out of Egypt. He stays here. He stays there. Well, Jesus, I believe in Jesus. I see it in the Bible, and I read it, and he's there. I'm going to tell you, folks, you've got to taste and see, and you've got to bring God out of the pages of the Bible. You've got to bring Jesus out of the pages of the Bible. And how do you do that? You do that by this, of the filling of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, I go so that the Spirit can come and lead you, guide you into all what? Truth, righteousness, all. He leads us into all good things. Nothing in this world is good. Now, God created and did things, and I see beauty out there, but I'm just saying the mechanics of what's taking place in our world today, the undercurrent, the under things that are happening, the lies, the deception, the evil, how Man can be so evil because the evil that is put within them by that of Satan, to be willing to cut people's heads off, to skin people alive, to cut fingers off one at a time, to do whatever atrocities that you and me could not even think of, to bring pain and suffering on another human being. It's like, I can't even imagine that, can you? But there is such an evil in this world, there is such an evil in those individuals, whoever they may be. There's a lot of evil to go around, amen? We have evil in our own country. So like I say, there's a lot of evil to go around. But when I hear somebody say, well, I just don't understand why God is allowing or creating this evil. It's like, man, I'll come unglued. I'll say, my God's not creating this evil. I said, you got to get back to the point, and it all goes back to the garden. It all goes back when sin came into this world, and ever since then, it's been a fallen world. And when it's a fallen world, guess what happens? It's not perfect. Have you ever done a project and you make a mistake somewhere in the whole thing? And it's like, well, nobody will see it. It's covered up under the paint, or it's covered up in the inside of the cabinet. But it's not a perfect piece because it's fallen. They just hide it real well. Sometimes we try to hide the fallenness of this world. And then sometimes the devil does such a good job of trying to cast the blame on our Creator that it's like, no way, don't blame my dad. No way. I'm part of the legislation governing body of the kingdom of God on this earth, and I'm going to speak for my Father. Don't call him the evilness and that he's causing this. It's brought on by our ways, our wicked ways, our desires, our lust, our pride, whatever the case might be. Whatever the enemy can do to get into a little bit of you, he will take the rest of you little by little. Little leaven. Little leaven. You ever watch the cheese go bad in your drawer? Sometimes I just leave it in there just for me to watch. I see a little brown green spot on it. I go, I'm just going to let it sit in there. And another day or two goes by, and guess what gets bigger? The fuzziness. I'm making penicillin. I'm trying to come up with a COVID virus thing. I don't know. I'm just going to start keeping cheese, let it get penicillin, just eat a lot of cheese and be COVID-free, you know? But you watch things in the natural. Watch your bread when it begins to mold and rot. It starts, and then all of a sudden, there's times that I've left it out on the counter, and you take a slice out, and you go, this has kind of a peculiar smell. Well, it's because it's got the pores and the spores in there beginning to start, and give me another day, Tim, and I'll show you what's going on. Another day or two goes by, I open up that bread, and I go, oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know. But see, a little leaven, a little of this, a little of that, whatever the devil can do to just put a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear, a little bit of apprehension, whatever it is, the devil will not come and hit you over the head with a sledgehammer. He's coming in and he's just going, beep, and he's planted that in you. And before you know it, your own mind will begin to grow with it, and things will develop, and begin, you'll start having doubts. Talk about that. Oh, how the devil likes to get your doubts. But in Psalms 34:8, have you got there yet? I hope so, because I've talked a long time. And it's a very simple verse, okay? You can see it there. And it says this in the New King James, oh, taste and see, oh, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see. That was just bouncing in my thoughts all this week. I've not really looked at a whole lot of it, just that one scripture, but I just think about things and thinking about, oh, if I just as I've tasted my Lord, oh, how I've tasted my Lord and how I've seen how good he is. Amen. Woo! My. We're going to look at that just a little bit, but New Century will say this, examine and see how good the Lord is. Happy is that person who trusts in him. And this is where, and I've known of this translation, and it was just brought to light even on Thursday, but there's a translation that's talked about as the Passion Translation. But I looked at that online in my Bible app thing, or Bible.org, or whatever it is. And it says this, that where it says, oh, taste and see, the Hebrew word, or root word for see, oh, taste and see, is taken from a word that means this, to drink deeply, to drink deeply. I think the hindrances to many of our walks with Christ is that we are surfaced Christians. We just have enough of the surface of a little bit of what he's about. And it's a good surface, per se, but if you really want to get to know more of him, you got to get deep into him. And so with that talk of what this is meaning about, oh, taste and see, oh my goodness, it's a drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. That's the Passion Translation. Oh, hallelujah. Can you believe going through problems and stresses and situations, my goodness, that you can be joyous and that you can have a smile on your face in the middle of a heated battle? I believe I can. I want to maintain an attitude of joy, an attitude of peace, even when, because it talks about that meekness and things, we need to be a meek people, but I'm not a weak Christian. Are you a weak Christian? No, I hope not, because that meekness is just telling us this, that it's power under control, power under restraint. And I'm going to tell you, when you're a person that has the power behind you, but you're able to restrain it and use it at its proper time, at the proper level that it needs to be, you will come out of every battle victoriously. And it's not because of my power, it's the power of God working through me. You've got to keep that connection there. Anything that I say that I do, it's only because Christ lives in me. And it's by his power, by his strength, by his ability, that we're able to accomplish the uncomplishable. The things that we would look at in the natural is saying, oh God, I can't do that. We can backtrack to Nehemiah about rebuilding the wall and the things of that nature. But many things in God's word, we look at the things where the mere man would look at it and say, how am I going to do that? And it's basically what God is just saying, I'm just calling you to do it. I'm going to work you through it. When God calls you to do it, he's going to work through it to you, to build you up, to gain you continued growth and development within him. So as we look at these things in the New Living, when we look at the New Living, it would talk about this in that same verbiage there, but it says, when we read, taste and see, it's an invitation for us to try God and to see of God, to see God. Oh, Father, do you guys see God every day in your life? Everyday situations, do you daily see him in your life? Or is he just a one or two times a week that you see him? You know, is he on partial visitation, you know? Or do you have split visitation, you know? Sometimes I'm with him, sometimes I'm not, you know? No! You've got to be with him day in and day out, because guess what? He wants to be with you day in and day out. And he's going to tell us, Tim, I need to be with you day in and day out, because the minute that I'm not with you day in and day out, something's going to happen. You're going to need help. You're going to need strength. You're going to need wisdom. You're going to need discernment. And if I'm not there by that of the Holy Spirit to help you through these things, you may make a mistake. Anybody here make mistakes? But anyway, it's where we put our trust. And until you live a life that no matter what happens, my trust is in God, it's a hard life to live, because you live with a lot of worry. Help me out of my mistake, out of my blunder. You got to look at, I'm going to tell you, either look at the glass as half full or it's half empty. I'm looking at it, it's full. My glass is half empty. No, it's full. I don't know how, but my God will fill my glass. And he will take care of me. Why is that, Tim? Because I've tasted and I've seen that my Lord is, my God is good. Now, when we taste and see, when we take that first step in obedience to God, we cannot help but discover that he is good and he's kind. Am I speaking to the choir here? You know that God is good and kind. Amen. In our beginning of our walk with God, our knowledge of God is partial and incomplete. And we trust him more daily when we experience how good he is. Little by little, we begin to build this wall of faith and the things that we grow and develop with. Now, when we think about this, taste and see, when we look at this phrase, taste and see that the Lord is good, it combines some of these ideas. But I think the one thing is that when we taste something, we take time to experience something. If I take the time to taste something, I'm going to experience something out of that taste. Do you believe that? I'm staying out of Culver's today. I'm not going there. Staying out of all that food that we always think about, but just a little taste, man. Just give me a little taste and I can tell you this or that. Let's see. As we look at the natural and we taste food and it's so good, and when you taste something that is good, what generally do you want? More of it! You know? It's like there's times I've been, they don't do it now because of COVID and all that, but the best time to take your wife or your date on a, or your girlfriend or boyfriend on a date on a Saturday is go to Sam's and just have, you know, continental grazing up and down every aisle. It's just like, here's some crackers, here's some cheese, here's some, you know, chicken that's warmed up. Man, you could have like a little, you know, mini lunch going through Sam's with all the food that they would give out. Just try, sample. Why was that? Taste and see that this chicken is good. And if I can get it on your taste buds, brother, marketing tells me that if it tastes good to you, you're going to stop and pick that up out of that bunker of food and say, I want to take this home and try it myself at home. I've done that. Have you? Why is that? Taste and see that this is good, that this burrito is good, this waffle is good, this beef stew, whatever sandwich, whatever it is. Because they know if we can get your taste buds to take it in, and your mind goes, ooh, I like that. Remember, there's like certain, I don't know, this long time, I think, gosh, now that I think about it, I think I had a message on taste and see years back. Because I went in and you look at, on your tongue, the different taste buds that are on your tongue, they're all connected a little differently to air in your brain. And the tip of your tongue does one particular taste, the back does another, the sides, whatever. But it all kind of encapsulates that food or that item when you put in there, and it starts sending triggers to your brain, and your brain, it's either going to say, this is good, this is bad, you know? And all I'm asking you guys today is taste and see that the Lord is good. And you will be blessed. Blessed, what is that? Happy, encouraged, joyful. Who trust in Him. Tim, how can you have so much joy when this and this and this and this is going on? It's because I got God. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy. I got the God. Joy. God in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. There's another thing. When you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you, stay with God. No matter what happens, no matter what adversities, no matter what the enemy throws across your path, no matter how many times the enemy says, God doesn't really love you, look what's happening to you. You just laugh in that guy's face and say, you are the stupidest person around, devil. Get out of here. Get out of here. You're defeated, and I'm walking in victory. You've got to walk in victory. So, we find also in Matthew 5:6, the person who tastes and sees that the Lord is good finds blessings, finds true happiness. Oh, hallelujah. And here's where, again, and just quickly, in Psalms 119:103, this is where it speaks in that study that we're doing, and it speaks several times over. But in Psalms 119:103, oh, Ina, this is for you. We said this is Ina's verse. Why is that? How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We thought of you, Ina, bees and honey. But how true that is. How true that is. How sweet are your words, O Lord. How sweet are your commandments. How sweet are your precepts. How sweet is your word, O Lord, to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And now you know honey is pretty sweet, right? Y'all know that. I want to go to 2 Timothy here and see. But in 2 Timothy, it talks about here where we need to divide God's word. Dividing the word here is meaning to discern its truth by capturing the spirit of the word. The word of God tells us we've got to have his word in us. We have got to divide, rightly divide. You've got to be ready to give an answer upon when somebody asks you. But it's got to be one of those things. Just be ready. Be ready to share what the Lord has put in you. Be ready to share what you have learned of your Lord. Be ready to share to those people. They have basic, simple questions about the things of God. And it's like, hey, I'm no Bible scholar, but I tell you what, I got the Holy Spirit in me, and I've read His Word, and I see how it's fit my life and what it's done into my life, and here's what I'll share with you what I know. So see, we don't know where and when and how these things are going to happen with God, but we're to go out. And you're out there speaking, and people are hearing, and you start talking the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God and the evil and good and joy and this and that. People are interested to hear what's going on in this world. People are trying to figure this stuff out. And as they hear us at a conversation at a table during breakfast in a restaurant or at a dinner somewhere else, or when you're out in the public venue, whatever the case might be, those are great opportunities because people are, their ears want to hear something. There's a lot of questions people have out there. Don't you believe that today in this day and age, especially with what's going on? It's like, what in the world is happening out here? I sent out a thing last week back, just touching base with it, but it was a survey that was done, and it was a large percentage of people that call themselves Christians. Like, after I read that, I can't really believe they're Christians, but they believe that there's more than one way to go into heaven. There's Buddha, Muhammad. It's like, these people are calling themselves Christian? The same group of people, further on in their study, answered and said that they believe Jesus sinned. These are Christians? Huh? Christians saying Jesus sinned when God's very word says a man that knew no what? Sin. You guys got to have this stuff in you because there's people out there, even in our Christian, whatever, loosely say Christian thought process, that's easily going to just come along, and there's going to be people out there in those rows of, well, I'm not exactly sure. They've never really had their own time of studying and getting into that of God. They've maybe gone to churches that are wonderful churches that look pretty, pretty colors, pretty windows, pretty ceilings, pretty lights. But it didn't teach them the depths of what God's word was to keep them from falling when they get out there in that world. And you would be surprised when you start talking to people out of it. I'm not saying we're like the top-notch denominational, because we're non-denominational. People ask me, what kind of church are you? I said, we're just a mixed bag of everything. But I said, we love God. And we preach His word, and we stand on His morals, and we stand what God says is sin is sin, and what's right is right. We don't need to water it down. I don't need to tickle the ears of the people. If they want to tickle their ears, they, you know, figure out something else. I don't know. But, you know, we are going to preach the word of God to what it is. Because the people need to hear the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. We need a people that are set free out there. And again, I tell you what, a lot of this stuff needs to be taught into and spoken into our churches, because there's a lot of churches out there that people that really think they're free. They're not free. They've been lied to, distortion. We talk about our government and our media being deceitful and telling lies. My friends, there's churches out there that have told lies about God's word and what God's word says and speaks. And we have an organization that's a large denominational that says, I think we can change some of this in the New Testament because we believe we know more than what Jesus knows of what God was meaning on this statement. Now, come on, guys. There's something wrong there. And thank God those denominations are starting to split. And they better split. Why is that? Because there's going to be a remnant comes off of that. That's going to be foundationally accurate, foundationally into God's word. They're saying we cannot stand and be a part of this organization that says that against our Lord. The enemy has overtaken the church. I've heard people that have grown up in mainline denominationals and all that, and I've heard them say this to me. My church has been, the church that I grew up in, the church that I went through confirmation, the church that I went through studies, the things that my church initially said were right and wrong, now it's being said totally different. My church is leaving me. My church is changing. How can that be? Because the enemy has done such a wonderful job of bringing in, as the pastors, as we know now, as we get older and the new ones come in, so even some of the things that they're taught in Bible colleges, probably need to really be questioned. Really need to be questioned. I'm glad I didn't go to Bible college. I don't want to go there. You know why? I want to read His Word and take it for what His Word says. And then I want to dig into it to find out what does that mean for my life. And how am I going to understand that? Well, Jesus gave us the answer already. I don't need a professor to tell me that, because all I need to do is have the Holy Spirit in me and to say, Lord, I need to have some clarity in this verse. What does it mean? And He's taken me on journeys, and He's talked to me in those quiet times that it's like, really, Lord? okay. And then you begin to sometimes see it. It begins to formulate within you. Anything that man touches, man can distort. Do you believe that? I hope so. I look through commentaries. I read commentaries to get some of this stuff, but I don't put my faith in them because read 12 commentaries, you got 12 answers to the same verse because you got 12 men trying to figure it out themselves, which means they're men. They're imperfect. They'll put their best thought to it, but it's all it is a thought. I just want it right. I just want it right, God. And to do that, we've got to personally take that part to say, I'm going to taste and see that my Lord is good, and I'm going to taste and see myself. Now, we come to times of Bible studies, even coming here to a Sunday morning service. It's all well and good, but you better be reading your scriptures. You better be reading your word. And I could be saying something that I pass over, something blots out of here, and I say something really screwy at times. It's like, wait a minute, how did I say that? I didn't mean it that way, you know? And you got to guard yourself and say, Pastor, you said this. I don't understand that. I see it this way. Sometimes we just have a conversation. And sometimes you don't really get to the definitive of it's right or wrong. Either way, it's one of those things that, you know what, when we get to heaven, we might find out. When we get to heaven, we might not even care anymore because we're in heaven, you know. I just want to do whatever I can to help and share what I've tasted and seen of that of God. So as we look at 2 Timothy here, 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. In 14, it starts off, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive words to no profit, to the ruins of the hearers. But here in 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible here is God-inspired. Amen? The Bible is God-inspired. We got to get that understood. Sometimes if you talk to somebody and they want to question the things of the Bible, and you got to first of all say, well, do you believe the Bible is God-inspired, that it's the true word of God and God's word putting in print? And they go, I don't believe it all. Well, then you probably already might as well even start talking to them because it's like they've already decided that what you're going to bring up, they're going to say, well, yeah, but that was man or that was that or that or whatever. And if they don't want to believe it that way, I'll say, I might as well stop talking. I'll be your friend. Let's have a cup of coffee, you know, and in my spirit, I'll pray for you, you know, type of a thing. And I'm not saying that I'm totally right all the time, but I'm just saying, where are you at with God? And if you can't come to some understandings of here's some basic things, I mean, how can I talk to somebody that says, well, I believe Jesus sinned? Well, really? Well, what about the word that says God says that? Well, that, we don't know for that for sure. It's like, well, you know, I don't know. I'm putting a lot of things in there. What if, what if, what if? But that's these things that start snowballing. So anyway, rightly dividing. It says, so the word of God is that, truly God-inspired. And it's really the only conclusive source of wisdom. You know, we want to know, well, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me whatever it is. And where does it come from? It comes through him and from him. I've asked the Lord many times early on in my walk, Lord, and I think he was asking me one time, what would you like, you know, as far as the gifts and the things and abilities and all that? And there's a lot of good things there, and I don't know why. Something just popped in my spirit to say, well, Lord, I really would like to have discernment so that I know when I'm being lied to or when the enemy tries to trip me up so that I can know ahead of time. But anyway, that's for another time. But anyway, we talk about it's a source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding concerning ultimate realities. It is a fountainhead of freeing truth. And why is that? If you look at John 8:32, you're going to find that very familiar where it says this. And he said to them, was it 8:32? Oh, 32. I'm sorry. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No. Hallelujah. You are going to, in that word know there of truth, it's going to, you're going to gain knowledge. You're going to come to realize something. You're going to come to know something. Knowledge that has an inception, a progress, an attainment, and a recognition of truth by personal experiences. As we personally experience the things of God, as I personally taste and see the things of God in my life, and it lines up with his word, it just solidifies more in my spirit how much my God is of God and truth and love, and he's the one I'm going to listen to. And it's so, and it goes on to talks about that the only way to to a healthy, balanced living is through the rightly dividing. Now, the Greek word for rightly dividing is orthotomata. Orthotomata. Literally, it says this when we say rightly dividing, cutting straight. Rightly to divide, and we look at this in the Greek, the meaning would actually say cutting straight of God's word. Such correct, straight-on application of God's word is the result of diligent study. The text calls us beyond casual approaches to the scriptures, telling us to refuse to suit the Bible to our own conveniences and our own ideology. We got to be careful when we want to just pick and choose verses, and then we try to make them feel and fit our situation. Even though I'm doing evil things and I'm doing bad things, I know it's not right. It really is not in my heart because God knows my heart. I don't want to do that. Well, if you're doing evil things and bad things, evidently you've got evil in your heart, because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Out of the heart, all this thing, the heart, the mind, all of these things are connected. And what you do and say, evidently, you don't really believe in the things of God, or you don't want to honor your God. I've said that to a person one time. Well, oh, the Lord knows my heart. I said, the Lord knows your heart. But here's the question. Do you know God's heart? And once you begin to know God's heart, your heart better start changing, because I want God's heart in this place. And he talks about that, you know, talking about, you know, like a heart transplant. Renew my heart, Lord. Transplant it in with something better than what's there now. We find things that, this person and that person, I don't know, they're not really got Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've not confessed him. They've not asked him into their life. Things of that nature. I'm not a child of God. I've not been what we call born again, or spirit. But it says in God's word that he says, I hate for any to perish. So if that's the case, then nobody's going to perish, because God says he hates that any would perish. So that means everybody's going to heaven. No. You've taken that to make it feel good for you, to say you can do whatever you want and I don't really need Jesus Christ, because God says he desires that none would go, and I'm part of that none, so I guess I'm going to go to heaven. I mean, we can look into these things, and sometimes it's really silly when you begin to think it through. But there's a lot of that out there, that people pick and choose these things, and it gives them comfort. The only comfort that they're getting is that the devil is, he's getting them to the point of blinding of what the truth really is, and they're getting themselves just feeling comfortable with the things that are happening, not realizing that they're being led down a road to hell. Why does the way to destruction? Wide is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way, and not many find it. And it's not like he's hiding it, but he's just saying, folks, you've got to decide and choose and pick. I just want you to taste and see what I've tasted and seen. And you've got to do it individually. You. I cannot force feed you. I'm not going to take you up here and spoon feed you, because you know what happens when you've had to force feed a kid. Let me tell you, you better get a spit apron out, because I've seen carrots go all over the place. Try to give them medicine, they spit it out. So it doesn't do any good to force feed. I am not going to be a force feeder. I'm going to share the truth with you, and you decide, and you go to God, and you look at his scriptures, and let's come together. Amen. But let's taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us drink deeply. Drink deeply of the pleasures of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, 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 Father. I think enough has been said that you need to taste and see. I think you need to understand that when we taste something, we will take time to experience something. And if you want to experience God, you've got to taste him in all his ways. Amen. And I love that taste of honey. Sweet, sweet honey. If we can get to that level to say even his commandments, they're good. His precepts, his instructions, all of these things, they're there to help us. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you for this time. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I love how it gives us directions and focus in our lives. Lord, I pray that each of us here today looks at that and says, Lord, I want to look at like what Psalms 34:8 said and said, oh, taste and see that you are good. Oh, Father, I thank you for the blessings, because I trust in you. Oh, Father God, right now, touch each and every heart that is here. Work in their spirits, Father God. Bring them even into a closer relationship with you throughout the days ahead. Oh, Father God, let them see and know more of you, Lord, as the time comes, Lord. And as no matter what we're going through in this world, Lord, we know that there's something better there, Lord, and that's better as you, Lord, as you're leading us and guiding us. Lord, let us be that light. Let us be that source of hope to those that we have contact with. Oh, Father, right now, bless each and every one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you, Lord. Amen! Lord, bless the giver. There's a basket back there as you leave if you'd like to give, tithe, offering. Today is our last month, Sunday of the last month, and our local missions will go to Jackson School for this month. And so I'll get in touch with the principal and see how we can bless the kids or the staff at Jackson School as they prepare to go into a new season. Pray for the schools. Pray for everything, man. I tell you what, just pray. Pray! Amen. Yes, it's more than just praying over your food. Amen. You got to pray. Pray deep. Doesn't have to pray long. Just pray, you know, these things for the Lord to take care of. And be blessed. And again, welcome and thank you for the visitors and for coming and joining us today. Invite you back anytime. Be encouraged. And go out and do something for God. Amen. Do something for God. Amen.